Thank you for listening to the Content Magazine podcast, Conversations with Silicon Valley's Creatives. I'm Daniel Garcia, your host and the cultivator of Content Magazine, published by SV Creates. This episode of the Content Magazine podcast is brought to you by Bonfire, a Silicon Valley digital agency building elevated websites for ambitious brands. Find out more about Bonfire at bonfire.com. For this first Content Magazine podcast episode of 2023, we introduce you to David Valespino, the new production manager for Content Magazine.
Welcome to the Content Magazine podcast. This is the first time that we are doing it from our new sofa studio. This is the Content Sofa Studio, and I'm here with brand new to the Content team, David Valespino Jr. So say hi, David.
Hey, how's it going? I'm David.
So yeah, we're testing out. We're not doing video on this particular one because the office is a mess. There's a lot of change happening for 2023. Some of you might have known Kristen has been in the magazine for 8 years. She has moved on to other stuff. We love Kristen and everything's cool and all that kind of stuff, but she's moved on to doing stuff. And that's why David is now, who's been a writer for us for about a year.
Just about a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so just about a year. And then now he's going to come on and be, it's going to be the David and Daniel show from kind of here on out, starting in 2023. So I'm pretty excited about it.
Yep.
So welcome.
Thanks for having me. It's a lot of fun being in the office for the first time and getting interviewed. And I think we have a photo shoot coming up later too. So I'm feeling fully indoctrinated here.
It's the full glam.
Yeah.
So let's get people to get to know you. Now you're, because your role is going to be production. I forgot what's the title.
Manager. Yeah.
Production manager. We have to think of something else because I'm called the cultivator. So we have to think of something for you. Didn't we talk about the other day? We had like an idea of something. Did we? We thought maybe.
I don't remember.
We'll have to think of something.
Yeah.
Something fun like the cultivator. So David, who's some of the people that you've interviewed over the last year for content?
Yeah.
So people can check out those stories.
Yeah. So I opened up talking to Manic Art out of San Jose, Nicholas Dalton, and Kathy Aoki, former Silicon Valley Artist Laureate. Most recently, I talked to Serarium Studios, Phil Leonard, Ian Santillano, and then I also talked to Andrew Salmon, owner of Mama Kin downtown here, and I'm forgetting. Oh, and then a bunch of members from the San Jose Photo Walk.
Yeah, that's right. That'll be coming up in the next issue.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's cool.
Fun.
Yeah, that's awesome. So now you went to Humboldt University.
Yep.
And you majored in English.
English, yeah. So English education, had an emphasis in second language acquisition, but yeah, mostly an education pathway. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, second language acquisition. Mm-hmm. So, that means you're mainly helping people learn English? Is that kind of like the...
Yeah. So, second language learners, foreign language learners. Originally, Humboldt State actually had a really great Peace Corps program where they would... You could do a master's in linguistics and second language acquisition, and you can go to different countries and teach English. Didn't end up following through all the way with the master's program, but kind of laid that foundation with those hopes initially. So,
yeah. That's cool. Cool. So then what's some kind of interesting things that people should know about you? Maybe specifically if I could lead it. I don't know if you were to leave it, but well, we could get it to. So your bikes and DJ and music. So give us a little kind of like essence of you from your music, the DJ and the bikes.
Yeah. So music has always been a big part of my life. Performing, I was, you know, a choir boy growing up, so did a lot of singing. Picked up a guitar a little bit later in life, and then after I went out to college, spent a lot of time writing music. You know, I did a lot of garage rock, kind of like 60s inspired type stuff. And then towards the end of my college career, I got a little bit more into country music and Western. Something about being up in Humboldt County, you know, there was a lot of forest and a lot of, you know, pseudo cowboys out there. And it was pretty inspiring so far as that goes. And I've really tried to integrate that country music sound with my Mexican-American roots also. So really into international and yeah, I just noticed, like, when I'd go to family parties, there were guys wearing big belt buckles and cowboy hats and boots also, but they were on the Mexican side. And
rancheros, caballeros.
Yeah, and so seeing how those cultures kind of intersected has always been fun. And then that's translated into DJing. All vinyl DJ. I was collecting records for a long time and finally started refining and playing some gigs just around town, usually supporting art shows. My girlfriend Alyssa Ray is pretty big into the art scene down here, and yeah, it's always been fun to be past the aux cord and do it on vinyl. Has been extra fun. So
yeah, that's cool. Yeah. So then, yeah. So when you're DJing, you do mix in some country in the mix. Which, how does, like, if you're an archer, how does a crowd kind of do that? Because, I mean, you know, I have to admit, country gets a little bit of a, probably a stereotype and a kind of like a negative view.
Definitely.
And all that kind of stuff. And I'm not a huge fan of a lot of it.
Yep.
Just kind of that twang. So how does it go when you're in like in San Jose doing a gig, and then, I don't know, Hank Williams comes up right after Nas X or something?
Yeah, it's a lot about finesse, right? One of my main goals with DJing is trying to trick people into listening to country music and kind of experiencing something that might be a little bit out of their comfort zone. So if I see people bobbing their head and tapping their feet to songs that they might not listen to on their own, that's really what my goal is. But I've always been fascinated also, you know, coming from 60s garage rock where there's a lot of reverb, a lot of that kind of tone going on, and then going over to country where there's a lot of slide guitar and, you know, some beach style vibes there also, right? And so really kind of finessing the genres and just kind of massaging the tone and, you know, drifting into some of the ranchero stuff and some of the rock. And then but yeah, I'd say definitely I'm focused on like 50s, 60s country, some 70s stuff. But it's always funny, yeah. Sometimes I'll do shows and folks will be like, oh, don't play anything like, you know, too country. And I'm like, well, you know, we'll see. But
it is funny. It was funny. I just, over the break, I was in my dark room. You know, and you get kind of like, you know, tired of listening to the same old stuff. And then so actually I had heard a song on the radio earlier by the Eagles. And then I was like, oh my gosh, like that one album with the skull on it. Or I think it's like the greatest hits or whatever. So I put it on. And I was surprised, like, this is rock, you know, but it's pretty much a country album.
Yeah.
You know, Take It to the Limit, Desperado.
Yeah.
It's got very country influences.
Yeah, and the Eagles have played the Country Music Awards more than once, and they're always well represented out there. And yeah, I think everything's on a spectrum. You know, country music is really beautiful to me because it's really simple, right? Kind of generalized premise that most people can relate to. Usually has to do with like love or hate or death, right?
Or drinking
or drinking, yeah,
trucks and guns. Yeah,
but yeah, usually really simple chord structure, simple lyrics that are kind of meant to make you feel a certain type of way. So
well, that's the thing, I you know, I have to admit it's not my go-to style, but I do think that, and I think that's with the magazine, and what I like about you for the magazine too is that an eclectic and an appreciation for all different genres is so important, I think, as human beings, but also just, I think as a community, right? When you can respect someone else's and see what they're doing, you know, and appreciate that. So when someone could tell a story and put it to music and make you feel those emotions in any style is impressive, and it's great.
Yeah. I spent a lot of my time growing up observing, you know, reporting. I'd grown up, you know, my mom's white, my dad's Mexican. So depending on what side of the family you're with, you know, you kind of get different cultures and different experiences, different language even, right?
Yeah.
I visited family in Alabama and I come home with a twang, right? Like it's funny how that stuff happens. But really observing And then adding those to your toolbox, right? Because I'll say, you know, sometimes, you know, the way you speak or whatever might switch, but if you're saying the same things and you're kind of true to yourself and what you believe, and you can reach more people that way, right? So being diverse,
tends to help. Yeah, that's cool. And so bikes. Now you're totally into bikes. What kind of bike do you ride, and how did you get into that? And
yeah, so I've worked in the bike industry for 10 years, everything from being a mechanic to doing sales to most recently doing programs, community outreach and engagement. So I ride all kinds of bikes, mostly since it's been raining. I've been riding indoors, but
Stationary bikes?
Stationary bike, yeah. I'm really interested in bike commuting, mountain biking. I raced mountain bikes in college.
Oh, cool.
There's such good road riding out here, too, in the Bay Area. So, I came up through the bike shops and just had a lot of interaction with a lot of different people in the community, and was just kind of really open to anything it had to offer. And so wherever my interest would take me, I would just kind of follow, and got a lot of good experience doing that. And that also related to the jobs that I would take too, right? So doing flat repairs or doing tune-ups to doing sales. And then, like I said, doing community engagement, doing like flat repair workshops or like route help for people that are trying to commute for the first time. So,
yeah, that's cool. What is the Bay Area bike culture like? What's kind of like you've seen from being in that?
Yeah. It's world class in a lot of ways. I lived up in Humboldt County for a while, and the mountain biking was great, but the road riding suffered, right? But the Bay Area is just a diverse kind of playground for anybody that wants to ride. You could drive 30 minutes and be in some of the best mountains in the world for mountain biking, or you could leave from your front door and you could ride on some of the best climbs out there. So the peninsula, the West Bay, some of the East Bay Hills, which is where I'm from, people come from all over the world. We used to host support a Gran Fondo that was out in the peninsula. And we'd get all kinds of people coming out.
Gran Fondo?
Yeah. So usually it's not necessarily a race, but it's an opportunity for people to get together in a race setting or platform. It's a group start. People will take off. Usually there's a few different lengths, so you could do like a 30-mile or a 60-mile or a 100-mile. But it's more about getting to the end and getting to the cheese and wine or whatever they have socializing at the end of it. That's what most of the people are in it for.
And
so,
it's called a Gran Fondo. What's Fondo mean?
I knew at one point, but I have to probably check it up.
Fondo.
Again.
How do you spell it?
Fondo.
Huh. Fondo. I wonder what that means. I don't know. Okay. So you listeners out there, send us all your comments on you don't know what that means. So,
but yeah, I'd say, just putting a note on the bike culture. There's a lot of roadies. There are a lot of people that like to ride fast, and if you show up at the wrong group ride, they'll try to drop you and get away from you. But in the Bay Area, there's a ton of great, passionate cyclists that are all about transportation justice and equality.
Right.
Going out to bike parties, San Jose, the East Bay, San Francisco. You can find whatever bike community you're looking for in the Bay, and that's, I think, one of the best parts about it. So
yeah, that's cool. Yeah, when I go to play soccer on Saturdays out in Palo Alto, when I go down Foothill Expressway, from Los Altos, kind of that stretch, it's just packed with. It's kind of cool. I mean, you can obviously see by their clothes and their bikes and their speed what kind of like level they're at, right? I mean, there's people out there almost like in dress clothes, right, riding.
Totally.
And then there's people that got like the full-on little space helmets and tidy pants, and their feet's clipped in the gates and all that kind of stuff riding through. So it's kind of fun.
Yeah, and that's the coolest thing. If you're willing to kind of suffer your way up a hill and suck a little bit of air and get out there, the roads are open to anybody. Obviously, you have to be careful. Wear a helmet. That's a personal plug. Always wear a helmet.
I didn't wear one today. Dang. But I have a beanie because it's cold. So that counts, right?
We'll see what the cement thinks about that.
I think so. My head's pretty soft, so I'd probably just mush. Cool. Okay, so then, so now you can be part of the content team. It's only been, let's see, like 3 hours that we've gone into it.
Yeah.
And stepped into my office that's a mess. The content studio and our office is going to be up by San Pedro Square Market. It's going to be like our administrative office with SV Creates and stuff like that. So we'll be bouncing back and forth. What are you most scared about in coming into this position? Besides having to work with me, because that's probably everybody's fear.
Yeah, definitely you first. But number two, just the unknown. I spent 10 years in the bike industry. Kind of became an expert in some spots there. And so really changing fields and pivoting to something, I want to say totally new, but there are definitely aspects of what I was doing previously. So, I'd say you know, last night thinking about it, I kind of came into it like, oh, I need to like hit the ground running and know exactly what I'm doing from day one and like, you know, take the world by storm. But it, to be honest, it was kind of a little bit relieving to just realize like this is new to me. I'm learning. Yeah. I'm going to give it my best shot. And, you know, I've been pretty successful when I've, you know, tried you hard. And, yeah, yeah, applied myself. So, yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I you know, and I do think it's like it is. I'm thinking even for 2023, I mean, you know, having to change if somebody was like really, you know, Kristen and I were a team. She was my right-hand person totally. And so now you're coming into that. It's like I'm even looking at it as like it's an opportunity. Like, well, what have we been doing out of habit and was it necessity? I don't even know if necessity, but just out of habit. I think that's more of, you know, just caught it like, how can we do it different? So I'm really kind of focused on like, okay, how can we do this? Like I was telling you this morning, like, you know, like slow fashion, like just how can we really tell the stories of the people in the community and how is that going to work with your gifts and my mm-hmm. gifts? And then how can we do it new mm-hmm. for 2023?
Well, and that's the fun thing too, for, I imagine for you, you know, have somebody come in new, even this morning you're showing me through some of the tasks and everything. You're like, oh, why is that there? Why is this open? Right. So it takes you to some of the corners of the office or whatever that you might not have looked at for a while. And I'm over here asking questions about it. So
yeah. You're like, why are those cobwebs there? I think you didn't ask. Normally people ask is like, why is there like stacks of beer in the corner?
I've been around enough. Yeah. I think I've helped, Kristen and them load up a truck after a pickup party before. So
yeah, the party supplies. Yeah. Well, cool. So I'm super excited to be in, being a part of the team and looking forward to what's coming on next. And I just want to do this short kind of like podcast so that people can get to know you a little bit. So you'll be seeing David around more than you probably were seeing him around already. What would you say for you? What is your, I always like to ask people this, what is your personal kind of like guiding principle of life? Like what drives you and keeps you kind of focused? What's your?
Yeah. I mean, I was always focused on education for a lot of my life, and whether I was learning or whether I was going to school to teach other people. But I think peeling back the layers of education, you see community, right? And you need to like relate to other people to teach them things, and you need to be vulnerable in order to learn. And so, seeing the different ways that people express community is really exciting to me. Coming and seeing the art scene in San Jose, you know, I'm originally from the East Bay, has been very welcoming. And, you know, comparing that to other scenes that I've been a part of, whether that's music in particular or cycling or, you know, anything else, there's always kind of that foundation or bedrock of community. But it's interesting to see what brings people together. And then, you know, seeing artists, how they express themselves, I think community is a big part of that. So.
Yeah, that's cool. Actually, I was going to ask you this. Speak about community. You're a Raiders fan, is that?
I am.
A longtime hardcore.
I am.
All the way back when they used to be up in Oakland.
I am. Yeah, I was born that way. So I give my old man grief sometimes because he made me this way. But yeah, the big Raiders fan.
Yeah, that's cool. And they just lost to the 49ers in a kind of a barn burner.
They did. I think we caught some people by surprise, so I'm not too mad about that. We all came in expecting us to lose, and yeah, it was nice to pull it down to the last minute there.
Yeah.
Maybe they should get some soccer players out there to help them kick the football. So,
Raiders Nation, is that what they call it, right?
Raider Nation,
it's
yeah.
It's the 49er faithful, and the Raiders Nation, is that the two different? Yeah.
Yep, Raider Nation. They're the only nation. There's some other teams out there that try to claim nation, but Raiders travel well, and yeah, we're worldwide. So.
Yeah. I guess then the Quakes, I don't know what we would call ourselves. I think we just call ourselves the sorrowful.
I don't know. I'd call it a good time. I went to my first game last season, and that was awesome.
It is a fun time, but it would be nice to have a winning, maybe 2023 season will be our season with our new coach.
That's what I'm hoping. I'm going to try to put on some of their podcasts and see what they're about. Maybe I'll bring some good luck.
Yeah. Hey, so what song are you listening to right now that's kind of a little bit on repeat for you?
Ooh, song on repeat. What am I listening to? I've been all over the place.
It's kind of a hard one. While you're thinking, I'll tell everybody mine. I don't know what it is. I've been fascinated with David Bowie's sound and vision. I just love the little I don't know what it's not octaves, but he's doing this little blink, blink. It's just like, you listen to that song, you guys. It's got a fun little jam. It's short, nice. So I've seriously been listening to that a lot. But what about, and I'm trying to learn to play it too.
Yeah, I'd say rather than songs in particular, I've been just kind of trying to branch out and listen to new stuff. There's a particular record label called Numero Group. Okay. They're out of the East Coast. I think they're in Boston. But they're doing some phenomenal reissues. They're trying to find some deep cuts under the radar releases and bring them back to the light and have people check them out. So it's anything from soul to country to you know, disco and electronic, and so yeah, Numero Group. They're doing some really cool stuff right
cool.
now.
Cool, awesome. And then let's really reveal your soul here. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna put you on the spot.
Lay it on me.
What is what's a lyric from a song that you've written that you really are proud of, that you like, that kind of hits you, like something that you had said in a song that you wrote that you kind of like?
That I wrote.
It could be, you know, for whatever reason.
Well, a lot of them are country, so there's some funny ones, but it's funny how somebody asks you something and then everything just flies out of your head. Flock of seagulls there. Okay, there's one. It's called Gas Station 45s, and it's essentially about somebody that's kind of broke down and hung over from the night before, and they ran out of money to get gas, so they're selling 45s at the gas station. And then there's one that said...
is that an autobiographical?
in spirit.
Yeah, okay.
In spirit. I felt that way before, but I haven't had that exact situation, but... it said he's ready for Nashville, but he's scared of the lights. And I think that was a cool one.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. I like that. That is good. That's a good line, actually. That relates to a lot of artists and stuff. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll leave you guys this week with David Vadaspino Jr., the new man what?
Product manager at Content Magazine.
Production. We don't even know what it is. The production manager. So we'll leave you with that. And hope you all are ready for Nashville, but not afraid of the lights.
Yep. Keep on shining.
Thank you for listening to the Content Magazine podcast. Follow us on social media at Content Mag. Become a member and help us to continue to tell the stories of the South Bay creatives. This episode's music is 408 by Jack Pavlina. Follow him on Spotify and also on his Instagram at Jack Pavlina Music.